It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love the lies. Feline, with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. You know, I got a text last night. Nothing spicy, just Astros related, which was depressing. You get a text at around 9:30. You're like, huh, what's this? This was Astros related. Ah, that's not fun. I get the text and I wasn't keeping track because I gotta admit, I was watching the game, but I wasn't locked in. Astros White Sox, Astros win 6-3. But I get this text from KJ as I'm about to fall asleep. So apologize. Didn't get to you. But I did look at it and see it like maybe 10 minutes after you sent it. And it was about watching this game and the walks. 9 walks by these sorry bleeping pitchers is absolutely infuriating. Yeah. Now that I think about it, watching Peter Lambert scuffle his way through that game. Didn't give up a lot of runs, so we'll take that from him. But I think he had 5 walks in 4 2/3 innings. It's a tough watch when you're starting pitchers out there not getting through 5 and throwing over 100 pitches. But he battled. That's what we would say. He battled. He kept his team in the game. And they had a 6-2 lead late before the White Sox added a run. But the Astros win again. That is a team now playing over the last week or so pretty good baseball. They closed out their time in New York, taking both series against the Yankees and the Mets. They come home and beat a White Sox team who we talked about a little bit yesterday as one of the bigger surprises in baseball. Long odds for that team to win the division, and they're on track to do that. And the Astros took care of them last night. And as Sean pointed out, for those who love a certain uniform, that's your last time to see them. We were talking about it during a break between the shows, and Sean informed me that's the last time we can see those city jerseys. That only means the Astros don't have any more home games on a Monday. That's simply what it means. But apparently the Astros made that announcement that this is the last time you get to see the boys in the uniform.
Go out on top.
Yeah. Thankfully, we may not see any special city-made uniforms until 2028. So, remember last night's game fondly, despite the 9 walks, because you got the win.
I think we got to
10. Oh, they got to 10.
Yeah.
Oh, he sent it when they was at 9, I guess. Okay. So, it got to 10 walks.
It's the third time they've walked 10 guys this season. Other two, this was shocky, Dell. Losses.
Huh. Man.
Turns out, it's hard to win.
It is hard to win when you give a team 10 free passes.
Basically a guy in first every inning.
Yeah.
Plus one.
You have given them a chance to have a runner on every inning average and plus one, as you said. But this time they overcame their wildness to get a win and hold the White Sox only 3 runs while you score 6. So look at that. Whatever we think of this team, and we've certainly had so many conversations about them, as it stands now, they've won 6 out of the last 10, and as one show will tell you, you start playing 600 baseball, you're a pretty good baseball team. So over the last 10 games, the Astros have played 600 baseball, while their counterparts in the AL have not done so. In the AL West have not done so. So that 2-game lead remains. The Mariners blew a lead last night to the White Sox and lost in 10, so they fall another game back as their season continues to slip away from them. They were up. They gave up 4 runs over the course of the last 3 innings to lose that one after heading into the 8th inning up 8-2, look at it, 5, and they could not hold that lead. And instead of staying within somewhat striking distance, they dropped to 6 games back. So this feels like, I won't even call it a showdown. You can't call a showdown between a team that's 70 and 68 and 68 and 70. I can't call it that. Let's say a race to mediocrity between Texas and Houston as the other competitor, the Seattle, continues to fall out of the race. But good win for the Astros against a pretty good baseball team, and they'll do it again tonight. Want to congratulate one maybe guy you've never heard of before, unless you're watching the Astros transactions really intently over the last month or so, Nelson Velasquez, for hitting the big bomb, as Brian McTaggart likes to point out when home runs are hit. This one would have gone out of every ballpark. Nelson Velasquez hit one to give the Astros the lead, made it 3-2 in the bottom of the fourth, and they never trailed again. Christian Walker added a run on a walk, and then Cam Smith came through with some real insurance in the fifth with a double that scored Alvarez, or Yordan, excuse me, and Paredes. So you got contributions from hopefully a guy who pans out in Smith and Velasquez, who may only be here for the next month or so. But thanks for your contributions, Nelson. And if you do it again, found money for him, as he's just the guy that they've had to bring on. One of those street free agents that a certain caller likes to talk about, but this time only in baseball. And he had his biggest hit as an Astro last night. So we move on. And tonight, the Astros go again against those White Sox. And it'll be Ronel Blanco. Look at that. Look who's back. Ronel Blanco's back starting. He was a good story a couple seasons ago. He's dealt with injuries really from, I guess, the early portions of 2025 on, and he'll make a start against Sean Burke. So can Ronel Blanco give you anything? If we go by what he has been really since the early stages and mid stages of 2024, I wouldn't expect it. I would appreciate it if it goes well for him tonight, as he gets a start for the team. Not a great year for him in his stop and start type of year. ERA is above 7, nearly 7.8. So if only we get a remembrance of 2024, that'd be great.
Vintage Ronel Blanco performance.
Vintage is a word I thought about using, but it's tough when vintage imply just means for him. Remember those 3 months in 2024 where he was good?
It's a tight window that we're asking for, because you go too far back in the Ronel Blanco vintage, and it's a guy who did not make his major league debut until he was 28.
Sure.
So yes, we want a little bit, just that little slice. So 2024, let's see it again. You know, give us
a reminder of what you can be.
Get all the fans one last. I don't mean to say last. One more look. Definitely not last. Definitely not only making starts, because look around. look around.
Well, that is
look at Mike Burrows.
I mean, that is the Ethan Pecco situation. Well, he's making starts because look what's left. Who
Ronel
else
Blanco's
is going to do it?
7 ERA is somehow making
starts. Yeah, Ronel Blanco coming off an injury. Not good. Gets to make a start in a pennant chase, or at least a division chase. Why? Because look around.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to choose from, and he happens to be the guy whose turn it is tonight.
Space City Home Network threw up the bullpen usage over the last week or whatever. Tatsuya Imai just blank 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 the entire time. I'm like, why is he not ever?
You know why?
No, but ever. He can never pitch.
When is a good time to pitch him?
A blowout.
Okay. Let's get to a blowout.
Plus or minus 5.
Let's get
runs
to a game where Joe Espada doesn't feel like it's in doubt. And if we get there, Bennett, then Tatsuya Imai might get some time. Well, Bennett Souza, yes.
He won't allow that.
That's,
then it's, because it's before true. It gets to that point, Sousa comes in and gives up a home run.
That's
then,
true. You can't get to a point where you can just run Imai out there to close out a game, even if you are a little shaky with him. But, you know, you're up 4 or 5 runs because if Sousa has to pitch first, there's a real shot you go from fairly confident you're going to get a win to,
I was worried that Sousa was going to make Hader have to work last night. Come on, Sousa.
I don't know how many more appearances he has in him or how many more times Espada can go to him. If Schramm can fix him, you know what?
Statue.
I may retire the Butcher of Bel Air nickname. If he gets Sousa right, even though getting him right may mean his arm disappears off his shoulder in 2027. But if he can get him right, I may need to put that in my back pocket, which I do find interesting that people remember that and were, hey, look who's back, Del. I was like, I saw. I know. The Butcher is like an inside joke. I don't know that I need that thing to be, not that it will go viral, but I don't need that to become a thing that's readily known because, you know, then it becomes, hey, you're talking about Brent Strom in a disrespectful way. I know I am, but I don't want it to become that big of a thing.
You don't want guest analyst Jeff Bagwell.
I don't need that, like, getting back
to
anyone.
People call him.
No, well, I don't
People
know that.
Call the 77-year-old the Butcher of
I
LA.
Said that once, and hey, that rolled off the tongue. Let's say it again. I'm not really thinking about any repercussions, and now I got random people tweeting me. Guess who's okay? Let's hope the Butcher does his best work with guys like Sousa, and maybe he can fix Imai.
Oof.
Perhaps. Oof. As Brent Strom is now a consultant for the Astros down the stretch, as they find and try to look for any way to salvage what is a shaky pitching staff down the stretch. Good luck to you, sir. You've done a great job. You're a big part of what we've known the Astros to be. You got one more in you?
You have 5 weeks to fix any of these
guys. Not a lot of time.
Terrible ERA.
It's not a lot of time, but who knows how much magic Brent Strom has left, and hopefully he can get that done with a staff that's hanging on. Hanging on.
By a thread.
By some stretched out ligaments.
Yeah, yes. The threads are UCLs.
Yes, they are hanging on by some really under-stressed UCLs. Eric, you called in very early. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to join us? The number is 713-780-3776. We had a lot of college football discussion on the morning show, which led me to this. Look, for those who don't know, a lot of you do who listen to us, Sean's a big Texas guy. I'm a Miami Hurricane fan. And with the year starting, if you call in today, in fact, I'd like you to call in and stake your claim to your team and whether you think they're going to be good or not this year. We had Longhorn Heath call in because the discussion involved Texas, and he thinks the team has a real shot, certainly, to make the playoff. So if you are of that belief, whether it be about Texas or anyone else, let us know. We gave away Cougs tickets earlier today. We had Willie Fritz on. He'll join John and Lance every Tuesday this season. They're expected to be pretty good. They kicked off their season against Oregon State. So whoever you love as your favorite team, let us know. We love to have that as an ongoing conversation throughout the year. You guys can call in on that Monday or Tuesday after your team plays and get this college football season and talk started. So we'll do that today if you so choose. In fact, I'll ask Eric when he calls in or when he joins us, who his favorite team is. I wonder who it'll be because I have no idea. I know he's a Cowboy fan. I think he's an Astro fan. And Rockets, it's more of a love-hate now that Kevin Durant's here. So we'll see who he likes as far as a college football team. And you guys can certainly do that as well at 713-780-3776. All right. Segment one out of the way. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Eric here. He joined us, at least on hold, very early, so we'll get to him to start off this segment. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Yeah, word around the campfire is that the Celtics are interested in trading for KD, which I'm all for. Hopefully he goes to the Celtics. Also, they said Lanterns, the episode 3 that just premiered Sunday, was one of the best episodes HBO's ever had. Not just in the comics, but just overall. And I think that was been the U ever since Howard Schlendenberger, Jimmy Johnson, Dennis Erickson, Butch Davis, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ruben Blades, Michael Irving, Ed Reed, even Jeremy Shockey, even though he's a giant. I can't believe the disrespect they're doing to the U. Ranked number 7, they should be number 1 and number 2. I'll hang up to listen.
Okay, so as far as what he's heard around the campfire, every time I'll just find out what if there's any latest Rockets news, and there's always some trade by Bleacher Report about how you get Kevin Durant someplace. I don't believe any of that. And that's where I'm going to leave it. I don't believe any of that. I think he'll be a Rocket, certainly to start the year. What if things go poorly or he decides he doesn't want to be here anymore? That's a different conversation. He mentioned he just started listing Miami dignitaries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Rock.
Yeah, sure.
Rohan Marley.
I think he might have said Ruben Blades. That guy doesn't exist. There's a Ruben Bain and a Benny Blades and a Brian Blades.
And many other Blades.
Yes. And there's an Al Blades. there's an HB Blades, but he played for Pittsburgh. But he's still part of that family. So he may have combined a couple of them. And then there was a middle one that I don't remember. But I do remember the Kevin Durant trade he wants to happen. He has never been a Kevin Durant guy. It's just who he is. Eric, I mean. He dislikes the fact that Kevin Durant's on his favorite basketball team. He's one of few, I think, that still looks at that trade as a bad one. The Rockets need to win a playoff series. That will certainly help the view of that trade going forward. That it's about time for that, but I did see, I don't know what podcast it was, another person talk. Oh, I think it was Zach Lowe. Zach Lowe was talking about the Rockets and what he thinks they can be. And goes, look, Fred VanVleet's going to be there, so they can win a lot of games. Okay. I still can't believe this is going on. Fred's importance has far outperformed what I thought it was. Once again, Fred... I don't know that anyone has benefited more from not playing basketball than Fred VanVleet. The last time we saw him was trying to drag the Rockets through a 7-game series against the Warriors because he was their best player late in that series.
Yeah. The last, what, 3 games? 2 games, maybe, of that series?
He carried them.
Yeah. And then he get that's the last we've ever seen him.
That's the last we've seen of him. So I don't know if that memory is sticking.
Yeah,
but
I mean, on off, he was always.
Yeah, it was a conversation throughout that year why he was playing so many minutes. It's because they couldn't really survive with him not being on the floor because they didn't have a real backup point guard, not someone who could initiate all the things we talk about, Fred. And that has continued. I think the Rockets will win a lot of games. I wouldn't place all of that on Fred.
Yeah,
they won a lot of games last year. Fred wasn't on the Fred didn't play. It's not really saying anything to say they'll win a lot of games with Fred because, okay, they won 50-plus games without him.
Yeah.
But here we are. We went from, is Fred getting traded because he wiped away all of his Rockets stuff? Did he pull it back? Is all that stuff back, Rockets-related Instagram stuff?
Good question.
Because we all, well, some people assume, trying to read the social media tea leaves, that Fred VanVleet was going to be traded because – he decided he didn't want Rocket stuff on his Instagram anymore. Instead, we expect him ready for training camp, which isn't that far away now.
Still no Rockets.
Oh, okay. Look at that.
And everything in black and white.
Yeah, that was the case when that was told to me months ago when people thought there was a chance he wouldn't be a Rocket anymore. But doesn't seem like that's going to come to fruition, at least not early in the season. So thanks for the call, Eric. And, okay, the Canes are your team. You have consistently wanted a Texas versus Miami playoff matchup, maybe to create a divide on the show. We will see if we get that. As one Lance Erline thinks Texas is winning the national title this year.
Ugh.
What? You don't like that prediction?
Not from Lance.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense. Doesn't mean that much.
I was thinking about that. Not Lance's.
It also could be a prediction made under duress.
There's a certain bias coming from home.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking about this because Arch, the chosen one, all the stuff. There is a belief that this is a year where he will fulfill some of that potential and become the guy that Paul Feinbaum thought he would be. When's the last time the chosen one won? Trevor Lawrence? That would be the last time the chosen quarterback fulfilled that promise.
Yeah,
right.
I think so.
So it's not that long ago.
I mean, I guess Tua won the year before. So.
Yeah, well, he filled in for a guy.
Yeah. But he like made the game-winning throw.
Yeah, but even Tua, great player certainly, but he didn't get the hype that Arch got. And there's reasons for that clearly. But even Trevor Lawrence, big, strong, long blonde hair, all the things that get draft Knicks excited. Tua was a good prospect, but a smaller quarterback and lefty. There's a bias against him being a lefty, just overall. Trevor Lawrence fits the profile of a franchise-type quarterback, generational prospect. I don't know that Tua was ever, at least coming into college, considered a generational prospect.
Yeah, this is going to sound funny, just more of a normal five-star.
Yeah, he wasn't can't miss, no question about it. If you got this guy on your roster, you got a shot to win a national title. He was more, hey, that's a good player joining Alabama, so he's going to be fine. I think Trevor Lawrence and Arch Manning fill a different category when it comes to that stuff. So it's been Trevor Lawrence, and I can't remember the last quarterback who fulfilled the expectations that everyone had of him. So Arch would be maybe the second since who?
Yeah.
Probably. Like, look at the guys who win national titles. Fernando Mendoza, lightly recruited. He won.
Yeah.
The year before, was it Kyle McCord? Not Kyle McCord. Who was it?
What? Ohio State?
Pittsburgh. Yeah, Ohio State.
Will Howard.
Will Howard transferred from K-State.
Yeah. Got pushed out for Avery Johnson.
Yeah.
I always love it when guys get pushed. Like, Dylan Gabriel getting pushed out for Jackson Arnold, who's now a UNLV quarterback.
Yeah, it happens.
It's always funny when that happens.
And a lot of times the guys are wrong. The guys getting pushed out should have just kept their jobs.
Yeah, looking at the highest rated 247 quarterbacks since 2000, basically ever. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields tied at one.
He was a good player, but not.
Didn't win the championship. And no. Had his best years at Ohio State. Didn't start for Georgia.
Yeah.
Jake Fromm, another guy. Bryce Young is apparently the third ranked 247 quarterback of all time. One spot ahead of Vince Young and Quinn Ewers.
Good college player, wound up the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
But did not win a national title at Alabama, correct?
Yeah. Oh, no. Bryce Young won a national title in 2020. No, wait. That was Mac Jones.
Yeah, Bryce wasn't the starter. Mac Jones won that.
He lost the next year to Georgia.
Georgia in the title game. So, got to the title game.
Yeah. Yeah, Vince Young won a national championship.
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers did not.
We know the story there, yes.
Brock Berlin.
Transferred. Had an up and down career at Miami.
Yeah. Terrell Pryor did not win the national title. And then Arch Manning's eighth.
So, there's no
Matt Barkley, Jimmy Clausen,
no.
Mark Sanchez, Russell Shepard.
Russell Shepard.
People forget Russell Shepard.
So
Brody Croyle.
There. Wow. Well, another one of those out.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Yeah.
See, I need to stop.
When you start looking at the names,
Rhett Bomar,
you're far more likely to go to not win, clearly not win a national title, than win one with one of these. Can't miss generational prospects. And sometimes you don't even get a good player. You get a very underachieving one. Now, Arch isn't an underachieving, because of the hype, if he doesn't win the Heisman and win a national title somehow, some way. No matter how good Texas is, it'll be considered an underachieving career. He's expected to do all the things that a great college quarterback would do. So there's no guarantee, even with Arch. How much better he gets, I think he'll be a better – I think he'll align more to what we saw at the end of this past season than certainly what we saw early. But he'll get a chance to fulfill some of that promise against Ohio State early in the year. That is week two, the same day that Oklahoma plays Michigan. So that'll be a good weekend. But that's week two of the college football season.
I really like not playing Ohio State on week one. I prefer week two.
Week two.
I like week one. Hey, Texas State, you know, get your feet wet. Watch out. They are, you know, I don't know. They have some guys. But I don't want to start my season with, like, big noon kickoff, season on the line, one versus three.
Let's get
or
a game
it
in.
It's like, yeah, let's warm up a little.
Yeah.
Let's get a sweat in before like, okay, now here comes, you know, a top five team.
Not just top five, the number one team in the country has come to town. So,
Mitch Mustaine, number 25.
It's just keep listing guys.
Ryan Perilou.
Forget about it. Because when it came up this morning, that thought that crossed my mind. No matter how good Arch, well, not no matter, because if he's great, then certainly Texas has a real shot because they have talent everywhere around them. But it just doesn't really work out the way people think these things are going to work out. He would be an outlier as opposed to the norm. And he's got every opportunity. They've built a roster around him that says, hey, what do you got? Because we're going to give you the weapons to go do big things. Now, the offensive line, that would be the question as far as if there is a relative weakness for Texas on offense. It is that O-line. Can they live up to some of the expectations? An O-line that the best money can buy should have. That'll be maybe the one thing in the way because they stocked up on running backs. We know Cam Coleman is there who gets away from the aforementioned Jackson Arnold to play receiver at Texas as opposed to not catch passes at Auburn.
Number 30 highest ranked quarterback of 247.
Jackson Arnold, who's now at UNLV.
One spot above Caleb Williams.
You would say Caleb Williams, he lived up to the potential. I mean, there are other problems with USC besides Caleb Williams. So I won't put him in that class as some of the other guys.
Oh,
and
Chris
he turned
Leak.
Out to be number one overall pick. Well, Chris Leak wound up winning a national title.
But we're at 32.
Yeah, not one of the generational prospects I was discussing or at least pondering. All right, we'll go to break with that. We're going to have a lot of that college football conversation going forward as the games start in earnest on Saturday with, as Sean said, a warm-up for Texas.
Just a little, you know.
You know, it's not a big weekend for big games. I think there's only one ranked matchup for this week, week one, or the extended week one because they're considering this past Saturday week one as well. So not only is it a warm-up for the players, it's a warm-up for us before we start to really overhype weekends. We don't really have a major slate of games as far as ranked versus ranked, but your top 25 will be in action this week, and maybe we'll find some gems that we didn't expect. It starts Friday with two ranked. Actually, you know what? Thursday has a couple ranked teams with Missouri and Utah playing lesser opponents, and then it extends into Friday where Oklahoma gets their season started against UTEP, and Miami travels out to Stanford.
Undefeated Stanford.
That's right. They beat Hawaii. Miami favored by 24.5. So Eric, your team apparently big favorite to open up their season.
This for Butch Davis and Howard Schnellenberger.
Yeah, he didn't name any. Did he name anyone after 2004?
How old is it? You just Eric.
Look, you can watch watch 30 for 30 and know who Howard Schnellenberger is. The U documentary, but he didn't really name anyone that was a real contributor in Miami football after like 2005.
Yeah, I don't think he even got to like Sean Taylor.
No, he got to the safety before Sean Taylor, Ed Reed. You could have pulled out, you know, if you're a real one, Eric, you didn't even mention to Corey Harris.
Yeah.
Or Travis Benjamin. That's when I know you're a real one. When you were suffering through playing, watching the team play 11 o'clock games on a baseball field because the Marlins are still playing.
Joe Robbie Stadium?
Joe Robbie Dolphin Stadium. It's been called several stadiums names. Now it's just Hard Rock Stadium. I know Eric ain't a real one. They didn't even mention Robert Marv.
I mean, he was watching it back in 1979 to 83 when Howard Schnellenberg.
Yeah, his fandom runs deep, but sometimes you got to take a step away. And didn't get to see Leonard Hankerson catching passes back then in the mid aughts. All right, we'll go to break with that. Thanks for the call, Eric. Anyone else want to join us? You can. We will get into some NFL news because the Texans brought a couple guys back that did not get picked up on the waiver wire, as the 53 seems set right now, but maybe an old buddy at tight end makes that 53 after they make the proper adjustments. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the waiver wire stuff started to leak a little bit after the show is over. And all that means is the guys who were cut from preseason rosters, some of them were picked up. If a team felt they could help and others weren't. Whatever the Texans claimed, or at least players they claimed, none of them were awarded to them because there's a list and an order. And because the Texans were a good team last year, they're further on the list than the bad teams, just much like the draft. So the Texans may have claimed some people, did not get any of them. In fact, they lost a guy that they put on waivers. I don't know if they would have brought him back, but they put a lineman, Jared Kingston. They cut him. And the Dolphins claimed him. So what they did do was sign Brevin Jordan and Dominic Robinson back to their practice squad, a couple guys they waived. And the expectation is that they'll be brought to the 53, which means a couple guys have to go. So for all the pomp and circumstance of, look who our 53 is. You know what? I guess it's your job, so you do it. But if you are the person who's responsible for that, you're like, can I just wait till, like, can we just make a list? And then for the graphics, can I just wait till like Wednesday, Thursday? Or particularly if you're a team who was going to be aggressive in claiming guys on the waiver wire, why do you have me do this? Why do you have me put this guy and his name on a graphic when he's not going to be on the roster because somebody you claim is going to take his spot anyway?
Yeah. Like, hey, we just made a heartwarming video of the coach telling this guy he's going to make the team.
Oh, that's tough.
Listen, I know it's a business, unnamed NFL GM, but come on, help me out a little.
Yeah, look at this video has relevance for all of, I don't know, 18 hours before you just tell that guy.
Actually, never mind, practice squad.
Sorry, we saw a corner we like better on the waiver wire. We're going to take him, and now we'll cut you and then put you on the practice squad.
Sorry, Jack Pyburn.
Yeah, that's the news.
That's the biggest news.
The never-ending discussion about, what is LSU doing? Why are they doing it? Are they really going to play these players and suffer the wrath, potentially the SEC? Jack Pyburn, former LSU player, was cut by the Bucs, and we talked about yesterday that if he was, he would wind up playing for the LSU Tigers. Except the Chiefs said, hold on, wait a minute. We actually like Jack Pyburn. So he made an NFL roster. He's on the Chiefs 53. Whether that changes between now and the start of the season, which is actually two Sundays away from today, who knows? But that is one guy LSU can't get their grubby little hands on as they try to build a roster with college players, transfer portal players, and ex-pros. Now, Texas has a offensive lineman who spent some time in an NFL camp who's one of those fifth-year guys too. Hudson, was it?
Yeah, Cole Hudson.
Yeah.
Was on, like, one of the rookie minicamps.
Yeah, and I remember, I sort of remember that, but I was reminded by Matt Moscano, who covers LSU, because he decided to use that as a point to prove that Sark is a hypocrite. Let's play the sound from Sark. Steve Sarkisian talking about pros playing college football again.
These players on all of our rosters, not just ours, have been working for 9 months for this moment on Saturday, which then will lead into the next 5 to 6 months. The fact that somebody out there is going to take a player on off of an NFL roster and tell somebody who's been doing it for 9 months, go kick rocks, that doesn't sit well with me. I think that's wrong. That morally is wrong. So I think our presidents, ADs, and chancellors got it right, and we'll support it, and we'll fall in line.
You heard Sark very adamant that this is not right. Of course, as I just mentioned, he did bring up one of his own players back. Hudson was with Texas last year, so he brought one of his players back. Did Sark, Sean, do you know if Sark told anyone to kick rocks?
No, they had an open
spot. So no one got told,
yeah,
beat it.
Someone probably got told that they won't be the backup left guard.
Got it.
They'll be the third or center. He's kind of a swing middle
interior O-lineman. Okay.
Yeah, but I think, at least as of right now, you never know until the depth charts come out and even when they take the field. But I think right now he would be a backup.
Got it. So thankfully, a potential player who would have been told to kick rocks by another school,
yeah,
keeps his roster spot because Sark ain't about telling guys to get out of here.
Morally, still on the right side of things.
Still moral high ground.
Sarkisian, ethically correct.
Moral high ground for Sark remains.
More ethical than your favorite football team's coach.
Yeah, doesn't matter who it is.
Doesn't matter.
The guy could be coaching Navy, and Sark still has the moral high ground. thank you, Matt Moscano, for trying to point out some hypocrisy, but Sean refutes you.
Hey, we're trying to tamper with the guy on the Cleveland.
Look, there's
Brown.
Nothing an LSU reporter can say about another coach that's going to dull what your coach is up to.
The access cannot be worth it that much, yeah. Matt Moscano. Like, you can just sit it out. You don't have to.
You don't have to point it out.
It
is his most, look, you get engagement, LSU people are like, yeah, it's his most recent tweet. The quote tweet of Sark saying he's not a fan of NFL players signing with college programs, and then he quotes tweets that with a screenshot of an article about Hudson rejoining Texas. So is it worth it? I guess you're in that LSU bubble and you want some reaction from LSU fans. You write it, or at least you tweet it. But for the rest of us,
yeah,
is it a little beneath you to do that? I don't know you personally, so maybe it isn't. But not everything needs to be. Look, LSU's not so bad. Texas is doing it too. I just want to get to the games.
Yeah. Hey, Texas isn't going to get kicked out of the SEC, all right?
Yeah. Well, that is not being threatened of Texas.
All right? They're not in the graphic.
Yeah, they're not the team whose membership is in question. Because of the actions of the football program, which, if you missed it, the SEC is taking, or at least wants to take, some drastic steps. And this was the other member institutions trying to get this started, where they would like to punish LSU to an extreme extent for what they're up to. We will see if those guys touch the field for LSU this weekend.
They better not.
Or
my team's not touching the field. We're taking a hard line stand.
Yeah. Guys,
our boys aren't playing against those grown men out there.
And we saw what happens when Texas plays grown men. They play BYU for a couple of times.
Yeah.
And that didn't go well.
Yeah. It's messed up.
It's a different era. I think Texas would be better off if they had to face a team filled with grown men.
Yeah.
Like
no
BYU.
Jason Hill, right?
No, he is not a prospect from 2022. He cannot rejoin BYU.
Great.
Yeah, he can still just be.
I don't want to see that guy ever again.
Understood. Neither does Manny Diaz. Yeah. Anyway, Manny Diaz has bounced back.
He is the
ACC champion.
He's the last quarterback he ever faced as a Texas ACC.
Yeah, he has certainly bounced back from that and is coaching the ACC champion Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah, yeah. See? I don't know. I don't know why I said
that. Taysom Hill doesn't have to ruin lives.
No.
I mean, it ruined the relationship between Mac and Manny Diaz.
Yeah, he ruined my like 15 or 16 year old life.
Yeah, that make yeah, but we all get over it, and Manny has. Yeah. you still got scars.
I'm not the ACC champion.
It is a little tough to watch a guy in a knee brace do that to you.
It was like 300 rushing yards too.
It was really bad.
Whatever you think his stat line was, it was like better.
It was
somehow.
Yes or worse if you're a Texas fan. Let's get to Pena. Anyone else want to follow Pena? You can 713-780-3776. What's up, Pena?
Yo, what up, Dale? I'm stating my claim. Texas is going to win the national championship this year. We're going to go undefeated. And Sean and I are going to be celebrating like never before. Let's go, Texas.
So undefeated means 16-0.
Yeah, someone did it last year.
That's true. Indiana did it. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. Yeah. Look, the 12-team playoff has only been in existence for a couple seasons. The previous winner, Ohio State, did have a loss on their resume. Indiana does go 16-0. Hell, the title team, or at least the title runner-up team, had two losses. So there's many ways to get there, whether you get a bye, whether you not get a bye. Either way, it's a long road, and you would prefer, certainly, to not have to play that fourth playoff game. And Pena has Texas running through the all SEC the because of their high moral ground
yeah.
and scruples winning the whole damn
They're
thing.
More morally righteous than every other SEC team. That's a fact.
More than Vanderbilt?
Yes. Next question.
I just started naming teams. It's a quick yes.
Oh, yeah. The Vanderbilts, all that clean money.
What do you mean?
The Vanderbilt family.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
The school's named after.
I'm sure all the money in Austin doesn't have a whiff of stink on it.
Nope.
Got it.
Nope. All the oil executives.
Yeah, none of that. None of that money is dirty. Nothing.
Nope. Dell computers.
As I said, not a whiff of stink on that Texas money.
Keep it moving.
Who am I to criticize? John Ruiz was once bankrolling my program.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen.
We all have a guy that we're not exactly proud of.
But don't you like it when they score touchdowns? That's
yeah,
right. Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. But I will say this. Darian Mensah's money, not John Ruiz's money. So
clean.
So I feel much better when he's throwing touchdowns than I did maybe when Cam Ward was throwing touchdowns.
100% on the up and up.
Yes.
Until, I don't know, the third. We're always a poplatory podcast away. Yeah,
don't be too secure about what yeah. your program's up to with Pablo on the case.
Taysom Hill in his two games against Texas combined for 41 carries for 356 yards and 6 touchdowns. 9 yards per carry.
And I'm pretty sure he did at least one of those knee brace
yeah.
on, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I remember that. Like, that guy is killing Texas and he doesn't have full function of one of his legs.
Yes. But to Pena's undefeated season, I would love that. I am in the mode of just get us to the dance. Just 10-2 or 9-3 and complain enough to get into the dance. I think that's I feel better about or I don't know if I feel better, but I just want to sim to CFP. Let's line it up against all these teams. Actually navigating a 12-game schedule.
That's daunting.
Yes, I'm like, there's a I don't know if you heard, Del. There's 7 AP top 25.
If I hadn't heard of it, a Texas person would certainly tell me. Yeah. Case in point.
Yeah, that's I am daunted by that. But yeah, but then they'll beat all 7, and then
of course
all the 5 other games against
starts off with Ohio State, the first of the 7, maybe yeah. the best of the yeah. 7. You
can
start
we,
off with. Hey, you.
Can we do a MAC team?
No,
year?
You're Texas. You play big time football.
I would love to play Akron after all this. After all this is said and done,
it would be,
it'll still be a sellout. I guarantee you, it'll be a sellout.
Well,
reported.
What does Joey McGuire think about Austin as far as people showing up to games? He certainly had thoughts about USC. He goes, "Look, I don't want to insult, but I have much respect for USC and Lincoln, but
however."
I know our people, they're tough. It'll be warm out there, and we'll still show up.
Yeah.
Never-ending debate about football fans and how devoted they are. Whatever. just coach your teams. I don't really care of what you think when you're doing the whole wrestling face thing. When you walk into a city and go, this city's great. I know. Yeah, you love Tech. Understood. Until some other team comes calling with more money, then you'll love them too. Cut it out. None of you guys are loyal. Like, I'm trying to think, as far as coaches are concerned, who's least likely to leave for a better job? Cristobal seems like he's a lifer because he played at the school. Would Sark leave for the NFL?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a report that he's from Diana Rossini.
Okay.
But there was a report.
There was a report,
like,
yes.
5 hours before they were almost lost to Mississippi State.
That's true.
I think he would leave.
All this stumping for how great your place is over someplace else.
Ryan Day would leave.
When you've got no real fear of ever playing that team unless you just meet him in the playoffs. Just coach Thomas Castellanos, okay? See how good you feel about your standing of Castellanos airmailing passes in the middle of a third quarter.
Also taking a swipe at a Tech alum in Lincoln Riley. It's not right.
No, he said he respected him.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot that he respected him.
He respected him.
And then went on for 90 seconds.
About how much better it is to coach in Lubbock. All right, whatever. All right, we'll go to break with that. As certainly the college football talk can continue if you wanted to at 713-780-3776. So just to clean it up, Texans, they will continue to try to bolster their roster if they can. But as it stands now, expect a move to get Brevin Jordan on the roster and then add the defensive lineman Dominic Robinson. I think they would have, we were talking about this morning, like five tight ends of Brevin Jordan is put on the active roster, or maybe there's a corresponding move to take a tight end off that 53. We'll see. But this was a team that didn't have a lot of spots up for grabs as far as real contributors. We're kind of talking about guys in between 45 and 53 when it comes to Brevin Jordan, considering he's been unable to stay healthy, and they have invested in that tight end position quite a bit. So even coming in the training camp, you're wondering where the real competition was. It was on the O-line, and that worked its way. Unexpectedly, it worked out where your big acquisitions aren't even your starters. And really backup linebacker, because you had some guys get hurt. But for the most part, no real camp surprises. The biggest surprise of camp was, besides the O-line, Lewis Bond got cut. But then he came back. So Texans pretty solidified. And it's been that way since you could kind of point to minicamp. This roster was almost set in stone with only a couple guys making their way onto it. Dave, you want to talk Joe McGuire? We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else, you're more than welcome in hour two.
ESPN 97.5.